Let's pray this morning together. Lord, open your word to us, we pray. We pray that we would hear your voice through your word, that you would encourage our lives through your word. We pray that your anointing would come and give us that ability to see with our spiritual eyes, to hear with our spiritual ears, and to have the word of God planted in our spiritual hearts. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I want to talk about the progression of love. We're in a series in the book of 1 John. And the book of 1 John is all about what? Let me try this again. And the book of 1 John is all about what? Love. Yeah, okay, that's good. And we're going to talk about love. We're going to flip over the coin, turn the diamond, look at all the different facets, and we're going to hopefully be transformed in the process. So I want to just start out with this statement. You know, God wants you to grow. And I know that sounds like a very simple thing to say. There we go. God wants you to grow. It's a very simple thing to say, but let's look in our Bibles now in 1 John 2, 12 to 14. It says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. 2 Peter 3:18 also says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. So there are three areas. We start out as children. We need to become young men and eventually spiritual fathers. Now, please, I hope we don't have to have any disclaimers that we can just use children, fathers, and young men here without having to make any. It includes everyone, men and women. Okay? So that is what the Bible calls us to. If we don't grow, then we'll never experience the fullness of all that God has for us. And the world will never receive the fullness of what he wants to give through us. So Lord, help us grow. Let's look at how he wants us to grow. First of all, he wants us to grow in love. And I just want to look at a couple verses here. And I'll read Ephesians 4, 14 to 15. It says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 3, 12 to 13, Paul writes this, and he says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all just as we do, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So I like that. May the Lord make you increase and abound in what? Love. So let's look at these three levels of Christian growth. First of all, in the life of a believer, he says, I write unto you little children. Those are some of our little children from an Easter or two ago. And the word children in the Greek means newborn. We've got some newborns amongst us, and we've got some newborns that'll be here soon that have just been born. And we like newborns, and we like babies, and we don't get wigged out when we hear a baby fussing because we're a family and the sound of a child is the sound of life and it's the sound of God's gift and they need to learn how to worship and that's why we keep the kids in with our worship. Is it a little bit more of a challenge sometime? Yes. But my daughter grew up in a house of worship learning how to worship from the time she was being carried in a carrier and in our arms to the time she was twirling in the back with her arms lifted up to the Lord, to the time now that she's a young adult going to college and pursuing her life in the Lord with passion. If our children don't learn how to worship by seeing us worship, they'll never get it. You know, we don't understand how important it is for us to grow up and also to model what God is doing in our lives. Many children today, and this may be true in your life, and understand, if this is true in your life, the church and your extended family becomes that umbrella for you. But there are many children today who are growing up without a father or without a mother. And they don't have that example of that other person to look up to. And so the body of Christ and the church and you and I become that example and that encouragement for those who don't have that relationship to look up to. Because we need to be that example for our newborns. We must, the Bible says that as newborns, first of all, Matthew 18:3, unless we become like children, Jesus said, you won't enter the kingdom of God. You've got to become like a child. What does that mean? You've got to receive Jesus with childlike faith. Simplicity, humility, honesty. Jesus said in John 3:3, we need to be born again. So all of you have been born once, and I pray all of you also have been born twice, have been reborn, that you've come to know Jesus through the rebirth of the Spirit of God. And John 1:12 says that only through faith do we become children of God. How many of you ever heard this one before? Well, we're all children of God. No, we're not. We're all the creation of God. But as many as received Him, Jesus, to them He gave the ability, the privilege, to become the children of God. So yeah, we're all the creation of God, but we're only children of God through faith, through embracing the provision of the cross, through receiving Jesus as our Savior. What's the characteristics of spiritual growth in a child? Well, a child rejoices, first of all, spiritually, that their sins are forgiven. How many of you remember that first day you received Christ, you knew that you knew that you knew that your sins were forgiven? You know, it was like almost, you just got hit by this wonderful cleansing flood. And guilt and shame were washed away, and you knew you were forgiven. And that's something to rejoice in. Also, a child rejoices that they know God as their Father. Romans 8 says that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, technion, in that we cry what? Abba, Father. And what is that? That's what this little guy down here looks at his grandpa and cries. See, I told you I'd pick on you, but that's a good way to pick on you. What name do you use for grandpa? You use grandpa, okay. You don't have like a little cute nickname? Like Curly or anything like that? See, I'm drilling in now. Yeah. Did you notice how I just kind of brought him up there, really, like the sacrificial lamb, and then I got him? Anyway, no, a lot of them have names like Papa, or mine was Poppy. I used to love my grandpa Poppy because I always thought he was Popeye. And as a kid growing up watching Popeye the Sailor Man, that's who my grandfather reminded me of. I knew I would search his cupboard sometimes as a little kid looking for the cans of spinach. Because I knew he would just eat it and those muscles would pop out. So they cry, Abba, Father. Now, when Hannah was born, the first words that came out of her mouth to my wife's chagrin was, Dada. Karen said this, I give birth to this child. I do all of this work. And she says, Dada? Hey, you remember that, dear? I said, yeah. She says, Dada. Well, anyway, you know, if she still said, Dada, I'd be a little concerned at 19. Now sometimes it's, hey, Pa. Or it's when she wants something, Father. You always know she changes the name when she, according to what she wants. But we got to grow up. You know, as Christians, I rejoice that my sins are forgiven. As a Christian, I rejoice that God is my Father. There's nothing greater than that. But if I stay there, if I don't grow, how many of you would be concerned if your child or your grandchild stopped growing? You'd go to the doctor. Doctor, he's not growing. She's not growing. There's something wrong. Is it the nutrition? Is it the food? What is it? Because the next level of growth is young men. Young men are those who are busily involved in the battle of Christian living and moving forward. Now, let me tell you something. There's no chronological age that matches these because we all start out as infants in Christ. And we all progress to become young men. And I would really sadly say, few of us become fathers. Most of us get stuck as young men. And we're battling this Christian living. It's a battle. Can anyone say amen that life's a battle? Yeah. It's not easy. It's not easy no matter where you are in life. Whether you're a college student, or a high school student, or a middle school student, a mother, a father, a grandmother, a grandfather, someone who's retired, someone who's just beginning a career, or someone who's been in a career for a long time. You go to work on Monday, guess what? Good news. The battle's waiting. Life's a battle. But a young man is a person who's learning how to battle in faith and is moving forward and progressing. So, this is a quote. It says, a Christian life then is not enjoying simply forgiveness and fellowship with God alone, but it's fighting the enemy. The forgiveness of past sins must be followed by the deliverance from present sins. Power, justification must be replaced by sanctification. So Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. And in 1 Corinthians 9:24, he says, run the race that you may win it. I like that. What are the characteristics of young men? What are the things that we see in this level of spiritual development? Well, first of all, they're strong and the word of God abides in them. That's in verse 14b. I love that. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells study to show ourselves approved, a workman that can rightly handle the word of truth that does not need to be ashamed. I like that. Ephesians 6:10 and verse 17 tells us a part of our spiritual armor that will enable us to withstand the attacks of the enemy and be standing firm is the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. And so young men in their level of spiritual development are those who are learning how to grow in the Word of God and are learning how to grow in proclaiming the promises of God and walking in the covenant of God and overcoming the enemy. I love that. And that's it. They're overcoming the wicked one. They're winning the battle of sin. They're winning the battle of life. Now, where are you right now? We'll get to fathers in a minute, but most of us might find ourselves stuck in this level. Hopefully, you're not stuck as an infant, unless you are an infant in Christ. And if you are, God bless you, we love you, and you're going to grow, and we're excited for your new life in Christ. If you've been walking with Jesus for a period of time, you may be stuck in this level. And you may have gotten discouraged because the battle was so fierce that you got kicked down a few times. Now, I love that Terry shared the fact that the nation of Israel went into the promised land and Jericho was a piece of cake. All they had to do was march around the city 7 times and blow their trumpets and scream. The walls fell in and that was it. And then they got kicked around by AI. Yeah, sin had gotten into the camp, but if you study and read the whole book of Deuteronomy and Joshua and Judges, you'll see that over and over again, the nation of Israel lost some battles. They lost some battles, but if you lose a battle, doesn't mean you've lost the war. And a young man is one who's learning that even though you may have lost a battle, or life has just disappointed you in a great way. Have you ever been disappointed in a great way? That you can pick yourself up by the promises of God. That you can let the Holy Spirit bring the Word of God and speak into your life, and you can rise up again. Rise up again, O man and woman of God, and you can overcome. A young man is learning how to do that over and over again. He's learning how to rightly use the sword of the Spirit. Now, the next level is this, and I put Doc and Donna on there on purpose, because when I think of fathers in the faith, I think of people like Doc and Donna. I think of people like Dr. Jack Hayford. I think of people like Dr. Robert Dorn. I think of people like Dr. Billy Graham. A father in the faith is not just someone who's old. Because I've met a lot of old people who are infants, although they've been Christians for years. And I've met a lot of old people who are young men, although they've been Christians for years. Not many, and Paul even said this, you have not many fathers. Not many of us become Eagle Scouts because we let the enemy discourage our hearts. I dropped out of Boy Scouts when I was a tenderfoot. I just didn't want to do all the work. That's the way it is for a lot of Christians. They see Eagle Scout out there, and I'm using that. Hopefully you can understand the example I'm using that. And we go, well, but I got to get those badges, you know. It's not works righteousness, just understand. I got to go through all of that. No thanks. No thanks. A father, though, is one who's persevered in such a way they have progressed out of the continual battle into a deeper inner communion with God. This deep knowing of God. You remember last Sunday I told you about who's gone home to be with the Lord now, J. Vernon McGee? And how J. Vernon McGee, if you ever heard the old program, and how he said, you know what, the enemy doesn't kick me around much anymore because he knows he doesn't have a chance with me, so he's kind of given up on me. But watch out, he's coming for you. J. Vernon McGee had progressed in such a deep inner communion with God that the normal things that had pulled him in the past, the normal things that had tripped him up in the past, don't trip him up anymore because there's a depth of relationship. Listen, that's where I want to be. That's where you want to be. To where you have such a depth of relationship with the living God, that life doesn't kick you around like a can, that disappointments don't derail you from your life of faith, that you don't live in a constant battle of doubt or faith, but you rise up and you know that you know that you know that you know that God's word is true. And you stand confident and strong and hopeful and filled with joy. Love. Man, you don't wonder. And your eye doesn't wonder either. Because you know in whom you have believed. Paul writes to Timothy near the end of his life. 2 Timothy 4:6-8, he said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Wow. What are the characteristics of a father? Well, the first one is that they know him. They know him. They know him deeply. They know him intimately. They know him and his nature. No one can tell a father in the Lord that God isn't faithful, because they know that his mercies never fail. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, they cry out. Do you know this morning that God is faithful? He has seen me through everything, and he's going to see me through everything. I was driving to the church this morning, and I realized you don't need more information. You need more of Jesus. If I just dispense information, it's meaningless. I want my life to show my faith. I want my heart to proclaim my love and devotion to Jesus. Not my words or my information. A father who knows him is one who's being transformed so much by his character that he starts looking like him. I'm getting better looking all the time. You know why? Because I've been married to this woman over here for 36 years. And they say when people have been married a long time, they start looking like each other. And thank God, he always picks the better looking one to make the other one look like. So hallelujah. I'm getting more attractive every single day.
Yeah, but you don't have to clap at that, Bonnie. Yeah, my little cheerleading section for my wife there. I don't want her to get a big head because then I'll get a big head. I think I'm way past that point, huh? Okay, next thing.
They have a constant faith in God that doesn't change. I want to tell you something. They know that God doesn't change. So when you wake up today and everything else has changed, if you're a father and a Lord, you know that God hasn't changed, so you know that everything else will change. Why? Because he's the unchangeable one that will bring everything in your life back to order. For he's working all things toward good to those who love him. It becomes more than a memory verse. It becomes a way of life. And Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:12, and he said, Timothy, this is why I'm suffering here in this prison. He said, but I'm not ashamed of suffering, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I'm sure he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until the day of his return. So we want to talk now about the believer's call to grow. That picture's a little dark because it looked a lot better when it was light, but then you couldn't see the letters, but that's a cat chilling out. How many of you have cats? Oh, you're blessed of the Lord. I love kitties. I get in trouble because Karen's new cat kind of loves me and hangs around me. Bitsy. I love Bitsy. If you're on Facebook, you saw pictures of Bitsy. But anyway, I digress. Where am I? Okay, there I am. That cat is just not going anywhere. That's what you call just a lazy cat. And so God wants all believers to grow, but we have a problem with growth. And that's what I want to call the enemy of growth is non-production. I want to explain this to you. I want you to look at your Bibles, and we're going to look at Galatians 5, 16 to 17. And I want to have three youth to come up to the platform here. I want three youth. Come on. That's quick. Come on, Gabe. You. Three guys. James. No, Joel and Gabe, because you were the last one to get up. Okay. Come here. So here we go. We're going to put James in the middle, because these other guys are about the same size. Okay, I want you to get in this position. Hold on to this arm. No. Get in this position like that. Hold on to him. Both hands. In this position here, hold on to him. Okay, now really pull him towards you, both of you. Now, James, now... Don't overpower him because I know you're big. But try to pretend you're trying to go. No. Don't do that, James. Come on. Help me here. Pretend you're trying to go somewhere and you can't get there because you're being pulled from both sides. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, good. Go sit down. As imperfect as that illustration was, it was fun. Galatians, that gave you time to turn to Galatians 5, 16 to 17, see? From the New Living Translation, this is what it says. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves.
The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, listen to this, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Randy Travis, song kind of came true, he says, I hear tell the road to hell is paved with good intentions, but mama, my intentions were the best. Randy's hit some rough road here. It kind of shows that we're all human. But he wrote that song. You know, we have, how many of you, I know you're here because you want to serve God. Or you're curious about God. You're not here because you just wanted to kill an hour and a half at church. You're here because you want to know something dynamic about Jesus for your life. But sometimes it feels like you're not getting anywhere. Because of the inner battle within you. Karen and I just got a new stationary bike. It's really kind of a cool one. It's called an Airdyne Schwinn. And the wheel is this big fan. So when you work out on it, you get this air conditioning. It's kind of fun. I can put my iPad on there, watch an episode of Andy Mayberry, and work out at the same time. And get air conditioning. It's really kind of nice. But I don't go anywhere. You know, I can pedal as fast as I want, but I don't go anywhere. When I ride my regular bike, I go somewhere. When we are caught in the middle, the pickle, so to speak, of sin and the Spirit, and we don't learn how to overcome, we enter into the principle of non-production. And here's what we need to realize this morning. There is no idling or there is no neutral ground for the Christian life. If we think that somewhere we're going to find a middle-of-the-road ground for our spiritual development, we can be a little bit in the Lord, a little bit in the world, we can just kind of idle, we can go neutral, we can like have a spiritual Switzerland. If we think that, we're lying to ourselves. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, you can't serve two masters because you'll either hate the one and love the other or you love the one and hate the other. Romans 8:5 and following says, if you walk after the flesh, you'll mind the things of the flesh. If you walk after the Spirit, you'll mind the things of the Spirit. There's no middle ground. So much of the problem Christians go through in life, and I've gone through in my life, and the church is going through in this age, is that they're trying to walk a middle ground. God calls us to righteousness. God calls us. We can't do it perfectly, but you don't lower the call. You pray for more grace. Do you understand? If you want to be an Olympic athlete, you don't tell the Olympic department to lower the standards. You train more. You sacrifice more. So, Romans 8, James 4:4, in the message says this, you're cheating on God if you all you want is your own way. Flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God in his way. Now, this is a true story. Then I have three short points. The lady who grew backwards, listen to this. This will just blow your mind. The lady who grew backwards was a woman who lived in Virginia some years ago. In the Virginia Medical Monthly, her doctor told the story. She had grown normally, married, and had three children. Life was good until her husband and father died when the children were in high school. The mother doubled her devotion to her children. She changed her clothes to those of a girl of 20 and joined in her children's parties and fun. In a few years, though, the children noticed that as they grew older, their mother was growing younger. Psychiatrists call it personality regression, which means a person walking backwards. Usually such people stop going backward at a certain age, but not this woman. She slipped backward at the rate of 1 year for every 3 or 4 months of time that went forward. Although she was 61, she acted like a six-year-old. She was sent to a mental hospital where she insisted on wearing short dresses, playing with toys and babbling like a child. Then she became a three-year-old. She spilled her food, crawled on the floor, and cried, "Mama." Backward, still farther to the age of one, she drank milk, curled up like a tiny baby, and finally, she went back over the line, and she died. Wow. Bizarre. Now, put it in a spiritual context. That can happen to us spiritually if we don't press on to grow in the Lord. So here are three steps. The first one is so simple. It's so simple that this is the one most people struggle with. And I guarantee you that even though I preach on it over and over, even though I have tools that I give you, even though I preached on it as the beginning of the year, I guarantee you that right now you're struggling with this one, right now, most of you, is that you need to grow in the Word. You need to be in the Word. You can't live a successful life of faith if you're not in the book. You got to eat the book. You've got to drink the book. You've got to live the book. You've got to wake up every day. This is your bread of life. Some people say, "Well, that sounds like works, Kirk." I want to tell you something. When you go to a buffet and there's all this food laid out before you, yes, it's works for you to get the plate. It's works for you to put the food on the plate. It's works for you to put the food up to your mouth, but you didn't provide the food, but you got to do something. Or else you're going to stare at that buffet and the chicken's going to be gone. And the chocolate pudding, gone. And everything you wanted, gone. You got to get involved. If you're not in the Word, dear one, please listen. Get in the Word. Jack Hayford said this so ably. He said, "Don't let the light go out before you spend some time in the light." I don't care if your day was crazy. Leave a Bible in your toilet room. Yeah, you know what I mean. I'm a little awkward. But leave one in there, man, and just grab it. Read a psalm before you go to bed. But have Bibles stashed all over the house. Don't let the light go out before you spend some time in the light. Now, a lot of people say, "Well, you know, you're a pastor, and all you do is pray and study." Thank you for that. I hear that. I give amen. And you don't know what it's like to be a real person working in a real world. Well, let me see. Monday morning, I got up at 5 o'clock to go to the airport to fly to San Antonio. Was in San Antonio Monday and Tuesday working till 8, 9 o'clock each night. Worked till 12, 1 o'clock on Wednesday. Drove to the airport, had a drive to the airport, hop another plane, get back to Weatherford, drive from Weatherford all the way back home, get my stuff for Wednesday night meeting, come here, open up. Chairs weren't set up. People helped. We got the chairs set up. Taught Wednesday night, led worship Wednesday night. Thursday had to get up, do a lot of administrative things, had two meetings, had other calls throughout the day. And Friday had to get up, prepare a message for this morning, had to finish all of the other stuff that goes along with that. Finished that even on Saturday morning. Had a short time of recreation yesterday, and here I am today, and I'll be here tonight. So don't tell me, please. It makes me crazy when people say, "I don't have time." You wake up early. You read on the plane. You keep a Bible in the bathroom. You carry one in your car. You do it when you're at lunch. Get the Word of God in you. Please, please get the Word of God in you. Okay. Number two, whoops. Grow in grace. Children need to drink the pure milk of the Word, and as they do, they begin to grow in grace and become young men. They learn that by the grace of God,
They become what God has called them to become. And here's where the energy comes. Worship team, come forward as we close. The energy comes in this, is that by the grace of God, I can take that plate and I can dish out that food and I can get the silverware and I can sit down and I can partake because God's grace empowers me to do the things that God has called me to do. I talked to a young lady the other day who had just gone through a very difficult time in her life. And she told me that God's grace met her at that moment. And she never could believe the strength that was available for her with what she was facing. But God's grace met. God's grace enabled and strengthened her. So grow in the Word, grow in grace, and become a father by learning how to grow in love. Listen to these three verses. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. From the New International Revised Version says, "May the Lord make your love grow. May it be like a rising flood." I like that. "May your love for one another increase. May it also increase for everyone else. May it be just like our love for you." 2 Peter 1, 6-7 says, "And to knowledge, add self-control. And to self-control, patient endurance. And to patient endurance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly affection. And to brotherly affection, love." What is the goal of God's life for our spiritual growth? What is the mark of a father? Paul writes to Timothy, the finish line is this. "Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith." Let's stand as we close and worship. Say, oh, holy God.
so much more than words could ever say.
So this morning, we have an opportunity to be amazed. You can be amazed if you've never met Jesus as your Savior. By embracing Jesus and His love and becoming a child of God. And all you need to do is surrender your life fully to Him and say, Jesus, come. I give all of my heart and all of my life to You. Come be Savior and Lord of my life. For as many as call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This morning you can be amazed by pressing into becoming a young man, young woman of God, who's overcoming the enemy, who becomes an overcomer, not one who is overcome through the Word of God. You can become amazed by growing in His grace and in His love and moving towards spiritual maturity as a father in the Lord. Wherever you are, God invites you this morning to become amazed. The altar prayer team members, come forward as we sing this last song together. Let God amaze you. Whatever commitment or decision or prompting He's placing in your heart, obey it. And if you receive Christ as your personal Savior and Lord for the first time this morning, if you said yes to Jesus, I want to be a child of God, then when we dismiss, come forward. Talk to one of these prayer teams. Let them pray with you and just confirm your commitment with you. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. And so confess Him this morning. Let's sing that last song and then just say yes to whatever God is speaking to your heart.
To Him who reigns upon the throne, to the Lamb, to the true and faithful King who created everything, to the glorious Son of God and Son of Man, gave His body and His blood to take away the sins of all the world. All creation
this. God loves you. He loves you. How much does he love you? He loved you so much that he gave his life to be nailed to a wooden tree, ridiculed and spurned and spit upon for your sin. And he bore the penalty of all of our sin. He loved you so much that he wrote you this letter. He wanted to tell you each and every day how much he cares about you. He wanted to tell you each and every day that you can have hope, that you can have life, that you can have victory, that you can have strength. He wrote it in a letter to you. He loves you that much. Father, how can we turn and neglect such a great love? Oh, give us grace. And now as your people decide, as they've heard your word, as they've sung your praise, as I've heard your word, as I've sung your praise, let us all together obey the voice of the Lord to our lives. Receive Jesus. Take those steps he's speaking to you about. Let go of that sin. Press into his love. Let him grow you up to be a mighty father in the Lord. Men and women, young and old. And go this morning in the grace and in the greatness of his love. Stay amazed. Stay encouraged. Now may the Lord, the spotless Lamb of God, the King of all creation, may he bless you and keep you. May the Lord, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the risen one, may he look down upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord, your Father, your Shepherd, your friend, lift up his countenance upon you. Pour shalom, his peace, upon your life in ever greater and greater measures. Receive that this morning in Jesus' name.